May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a good way to start, isn't it? To see healing. Once again, John chapter 4, the only chapter in the Bible. I want to share something with you that I shared a couple weeks ago, but I want to take it a little bit farther. Because this is what the Lord did with me, took it a little bit farther in explaining what's going on here. Again, it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." A few weeks ago, what I shared was is that the woman at the well was not the only person thirsty in this story. Jesus was thirsty too. And I don't believe Jesus was physically thirsty because I think his disciples who had just left him to go into Sychar to get food, they had things to hold water and they gave Jesus water. And so he was just sitting there waiting on them. And I think what Jesus was saying to her is what he said in John 19, "I thirst." That what he wanted from her was the same thing he wanted her. He was wanting her to love him. He was harvesting souls. And she needed her needs met, her needs for love and acceptance and purpose and identity and a new power in her life. But Jesus was thirsty for her love, just like he's thirsty for our love. And that's an amazing story to me. That's just awesome. Jesus wanted from her love. We were created to love him. And he's thirsty for our love. But here's the thing that I saw this morning that it's not a new thing, but I just saw an expansion of it in this story. If you read through the story and you go through the whole thing and what happened with her and what Jesus offered her, Jesus wasn't looking for a follower. He wasn't looking for another follower. He wasn't just looking for somebody who casually says, "Well, yes, I love you." How many times have we said that in our disobedience, yet saying that we love him? How many times have we known people who we know their lives are passive? They live a casual Christian life. There's nothing radical or extravagant about their commitment, but they would say that they love God, and if you were to say that they didn't, they would get angry. And I would say, yeah, there's a love for God. But Jesus wasn't just trying to harvest a heart that would follow him and love him. You see, Jesus didn't want her to settle for anything less than everything he had. Let me backtrack just a second. Every one of us, every human being was created to love God. We're born into a fallen world because of sin. That whole thing is dormant in us. But what happens is that Jesus comes and awakens that in us. He didn't ask her for something she couldn't give. Both in the natural, but also in relationship. He asked her for something. She had the capacity to give, but he had to awaken that by confronting her with his love. And when he confronts her with his love and his gift of the Holy Spirit, that would be like a well of water springing up in her, he was not offering her something that was half-hearted. He didn't offer her something she would have to settle for. He was offering her something extravagant. He was saying to her, if you'll receive the gift that I'm going to give you, not only will your thirst be satisfied, your emotional and spiritual thirst be satisfied, but it'll be like a well of water springing up into eternal life, life as it's experienced and lived in heaven, but now on earth will be springing up inside of you, and you'll never thirst again. That's an extravagant encounter. You'll never have to thirst again emotionally or spiritually again. That's not like settling for something. But what Jesus was also, if you read through the story, he wasn't prepared to settle for less than everything that she had either. He wasn't just looking for a follower. He said he was looking for a worshiper. And there's a difference between a follower and a worshiper. He was looking for a worshiping, a worshiper lover. He was looking for a lovesick worshiper. He said, there's plenty of them in Jerusalem who think it's right there, and there's plenty of you here in Mount Gerizim who think it's right here, but God is more than that. And he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for true worship, lovesick worshipers, adorers. He wants something extravagant. And so Jesus is saying to her, I'm going to awaken your love by offering you an extravagant encounter from me. You'll never thirst again. But what I'm after from you, when I say give me a drink, I just don't want casual love. I don't want another religious follower who goes to church and says they love me. I want somebody who's going to extravagantly waste their life on me. I'm looking for a lovesick worshiper. And I thought about kind of a great sort of punctuation mark to that story, to one of my favorite stories, if you've been around here long enough, to this amazing Mary of Bethany, who on her third time to pour out this oil on the feet of Jesus, she just wrecks the alabaster vial. She just destroys it. And there's nothing left in Mark chapter 14. And Jesus, the disciples, rebuke her for the second time of wasting. And Jesus says to them, she said, this woman is preparing my body for burial. Now, this is not new for you if you've been around a while we said this. You see, they didn't have any insight. They would rebuke Jesus when he talked about dying, but she knew, just like John, I think, knew how far his love would take him. He was going to actually give his life. And so she poured out everything she had. This was her dowry. She poured it all out, smashed the alabaster vial. There was no turning back, burning all bridges. It's an amazing expression of extravagance. It says, as a matter of fact, says about it the second time she poured out oil in John chapter 12 and then again in Mark 14, very costly spikenard. I love that word, very costly, because it literally means a toll that's extravagant. And I think the outward expression of her adoration was just a manifestation of the extravagant toll that she was willing to pay with her heart and her life. And this is the thing, I've mentioned this before, but still gets to me. One of those places in Scripture that makes you, if you're in the right setting, makes you want to kind of break down. Jesus says, when they're rebuking her, he said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? And this is the way the language is really written. She has done something beautiful inside of me. My version says she has done a good deed to me, not a good deed for me. But the word to there is actually the Greek word into. And the word good there is the word beautiful. She's done something beautiful inside of me. Because what she did was an expression of extravagant, lovesick worshiper, who, in understanding how extravagant he was willing to go, she was not prepared to settle for any less than an extravagant response. So I would just say this to you, when Jesus said, give me a drink, he wasn't just looking for love. He wasn't just looking for a follower who loved him. He was looking for a lovesick, worshiping, radical, extravagant follower who was offering back to him all that we could offer in light of all that he offered to us. Amen. Here's the cool thing about Eucharist. At every Eucharist, we're kind of in that situation where Jesus encounters us first. You understand that that bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus before you approach him. So once again, he's there waiting for us. And he wants to offer all that he is again. This is just an expression of, well, here. Now, will you give back to me? I want a drink also. And I don't want something casual. I don't want a sip. Song of Solomon, chapter 5 says, drink deeply, O lovers, imbibe, be intoxicated by her love for me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.